The European Missionary Council of 1885 asked Ellen White and Willie to visit Scandinavia. They left Basel, Switzerland, October 6, 1885, with Sarah McInturfer and translator Cecile Dahl, while Mary stayed at the publishing house, where she worked as a copy editor. The train passed the city of Mannheim, Germany, where that year an engineer named Carl Friedrich Benz tested the first successful gasoline-driven motor vehicle. The party reached Copenhagen, Denmark on October 9th, and in spite of a severe toothache, Ellen began a series of talks. The crowds grew each night.
What is it, Mother? As the crowds get larger, you act almost as though you know these people personally.
I almost do, Willie. There are some in the audience who seem deeply interested. They're persons of talent. I remember their faces.
Remember? But you've never seen them.
They've been presented before me. I feel the peril of souls here. Some will decide from this time to obey the truth, and some will refuse the cross.
During her week in Copenhagen, Ellen found time to tour the lovely city and to visit the wax museum, which had opened 2 months earlier. Then, the party boarded a steamer which would take them across the Kattegat to Malmö, Sweden. This city had belonged to Denmark during the Reformation and was the first Danish city to embrace Protestantism.
Just a short steamer trip and we'll be in Sweden.
Then it's a long train ride to Stockholm, Sister McInturfer.
What can you tell us about our hosts in Stockholm, Brother Mattson?
Oh, they're very poor. Brother Norlin is a call porter. He carries our books and a pack on his back, often walking many miles a day. He makes very little profit. On one of the large bound books, he receives the equivalent of 5 cents a copy.
Only 5 cents? Mm-hmm. Why, that's nothing.
On some others, he makes only 3 cents, Sister White.
How do they live on so little?
Not very well, Brother White. Sister Norlin does house cleaning, laundry, anything she can find to earn money. They live in one large room on the fourth floor and share a kitchen with another family. There is no lift, I mean elevator. But the Norlins have rented extra rooms for your stay.
How generous of them when they're so poor.
They are eager to help the cause.
The unfinished brick building the Norlins lived in proved to be chilly and damp. Ellen, still suffering from toothache, could not endure the cold. She and Sarah gladly accepted an invitation to stay with the family of Sister L.P. Johansson in their home in the suburbs. At the General Conference the same year, 1885, the Publishing Association trustees voted to furnish publications to foreign missions at cost, a move which greatly improved the financial condition of the literature evangelists.
Tell me, Sister Johansson, are many of the believers here as poor as the Norlins, where Elder White and Elder Mattson are staying?
Oh, yeah, Sister McInturfer, and not your Sabbath keepers. The wages for the laboring class are very low, about the equivalent of 35 cents a day in the summer and 15 cents in the winter.
And I suppose keeping the Sabbath makes it harder to find work.
Yeah, yeah, that it does, Sister White. The elder of one of our churches works as general manager of a store, and when he accepted the Sabbath, he was able to keep his job, but his salary was cut from 700 to 600 kroner a year.
We in North America have no idea how hard it is for our brethren in these countries.
That's true, Sister McInturfer. And what's worse is the strong prejudice against any religion but the state church. Each town has a church council that can forbid any preaching it thinks is dangerous to the state religion. Fortunately, the law isn't used much anymore. And there's strong sentiment in favor of freedom of speech and conscience. So we hope it will soon be changed.
While in Stockholm, Ellen was impressed to speak on the importance of stricter Sabbath keeping, even though Elder Mattison urged her not to. During the testimony meeting that followed, several people expressed their appreciation of her message and their desire to keep the Sabbath more carefully. Ellen also visited with believers in several other cities, including Örebro and Grytehyttehed. In Kopparberg, she encountered her first Swedish smorgasbord. The bitter cold, 25 degrees below freezing, took its toll on her, but she kept going. At noon Friday, October 30th, the White's party arrived in Christiania, now Oslo, Norway. They stayed with Elder and Mrs. A.B. Oyen. Americans who had come to Norway in the summer of 1884 to supervise the publishing work there. Brother Oyen took Ellen and the others to see the new publishing house and meeting hall being built.
Ah, here we are. Go right in.
This place seems familiar to me. Huh? I've seen this before.
The press room is in here.
I've seen these presses before. This is one of the places shown me years ago, where publications were being issued in countries outside the United States.
At the same time you saw the press in Basel, Mother?
Yes. Back in 1875, the church had only one publishing house then. We were just thinking about a second one in California. But this is what the angel showed me 10 years ago.
Ellen spent 2 weeks in Christiania, except for one meeting in the town of Drammen, where 700 people came to hear her speak. She warned the Christiania church against a spirit of fanatical criticism which had arisen and had largely destroyed the congregation's influence in the city. She also urged the believers either to make arrangements with school authorities so Adventist children could stay out of school on Sabbath or to open their own church schools, but by all means to keep the Sabbath holy. Willie sailed for America November 13th to present the needs of the European field at the General Conference session. Ellen returned to Basel, Switzerland, November 19th, hoping for some rest after her six-week-long trip. But Brother B.L. Whitney met her with the news that Brother A.C. Bordeaux needed her in Italy immediately. So on her 58th birthday, November 26th, 1885, Ellen boarded a train with her daughter-in-law Mary, Elder Whitney, and Brother Bordeaux's wife Martha. They arrived in the Waldensian town of Torre Pellice the next day.
My brother Daniel is proposing to distribute anvils for his evangelistic series in Geneva, advertising himself as a famous American missionary, full of flattering remarks about him from American newspapers.
That is a problem, Brother Augustine. I've been shown that we should not create prejudice by giving the impression that Americans feel superior to people of other nations. I'll write to Brother Daniel immediately.
Merci, sister.
And now, what about your problems here in Torre Pellice?
Ellen remained in Italy about a month, speaking many times in spite of disruptions and accusations from an apostatized convert and of an old tormentor from the United States. She held to her principle of refusing to enter into controversy, although she wrote in her diary that she was sorely tempted. On December 15th, she left Torre Pellice for a visit with Daniel and Marion Bordeaux in Geneva, and then returned to Basel, where Ella had a fine time trying to snowball her mother and grandmother. In February 1886, Willie returned, bringing help.
Willie, welcome back. Oh, and you brought Marion. I'm so glad.
Yes, Sister Davis was eager to come. Weren't you, Sister Davis?
I certainly was, but I didn't realize I'd find you sick in bed, Mother. Mary said you had severe chills yesterday. Perhaps we'd better put off working for a while.
Oh, we must work, Marion. There's so much writing to do. I can't write much myself because of this eye inflammation and the headaches I've been having, but I can dictate to you as I have been to Sarah, and I do get some rest. Ella and I take walks as often as possible.
Yes, Mary wrote to me that you two got lost one day.
Oh, well, we were having such a fine time, we didn't realize where we were, and we couldn't ask directions because we didn't know any of the languages. We were only an hour late to dinner.
Only? I've brought more help, Mother. Louis R. Conradi and his wife have come, among others. It's good to have more workers in the field.
During 1886, Ellen traveled in Switzerland, Italy, Scandinavia, and France. Willie and Mary had a baby they named Mabel. Jenny Thayer became editor of The Present Truth in England, and Brother Conradi made a trip to Russia. In March of 1887, Ellen received sad news from America.
Willie, I've just received word that Brother Dudley M. Canwright has left our ranks.
Again? This is the third time.
And the last. He asked for his name to be taken off the church books.
You don't seem surprised.
I'm not. In a dream, not long ago, I saw Brother Canwright trying to desert a strong vessel sailing in rough waters to take his chances of a rotten vessel doomed to destruction. I wrote a warning to him then.
It's so tragic. Brother Canwright has been an able leader and a strong defender of our faith. You must feel it especially, Mother. You and Father were very close to him.
Yes, we were. I have labored with him for a long time, and so have others. But Brother Canwright would dwell on doubts. Well, now he's lost to the cause.
Ellen's time in Europe was coming to a close. Leaving Willie and his family in Basel, she once again held meetings in Germany and Scandinavia. Then, on June 14th, she was present for the opening of the first European camp meeting in Moss, Norway. After the camp meeting, she went on to England.
Why, Willie, what are you doing here? I thought you were in Basel arranging for my passage home.
I'm staying in London, Mother. Mary's with me.
What's wrong, Willie?
Mary's very ill. The doctors say it's consumption. She must go to Battle Creek, where Dr. Kellogg can care for her.
Well, of course. She and the girls will go back with me.
Ellen, Mary, and the children sailed for the United States on August 3rd, 1887. Mary lived for three more years, but tuberculosis had done its deadly work. She died in 1890 with Willie at her side. This writer, publishing house worker, and editor was mourned by all who knew her, but by no one more than her mother-in-law and friend, Ellen White.